Hello, I'm Sebastian. Welcome to Nine Archeries Podcast. Today, I will summarize and review the book, The 10 Big Anti-Israel Lies and How to Refute Them with Truth by Alan Dershowitz is a polemical, debate-oriented guide to some of the most common accusations leveled against Israel in media, campus discourse, and international politics. Drawing on the author's long public career as a legal scholar and advocate, the book frames these accusations as recurring narratives that shape public opinion more than verified facts. Each alleged lie is presented as a claim that can be answered through historical context, legal principles, and close attention to what can and cannot be proven. Rather than offering a general history of the conflict, the book concentrates on argument strategy, how claims are constructed, why they persuade, and what kinds of evidence or reasoning best address them. Readers should expect a forceful perspective that treats the information war around Israel as central to the broader political struggle. The overall aim is to equip supporters, skeptics, and undecided readers with tools to test sweeping assertions and to respond with structured, fact-based rebuttals. I will give you key takeaways from this book. Firstly, separating rhetoric from verifiable claims. A central focus of the book is the discipline of distinguishing emotionally powerful slogans from statements that can actually be checked. Dershowitz treats many popular anti-Israel talking points as bundles of partial truths, omitted context, and loaded language that become persuasive because they are repeated and simplified. He urges readers to ask what exactly is being claimed, what evidence would confirm it, and whether the standard applied to Israel is also applied to other states in similar situations. This approach resembles legal reasoning to find terms, identify the burden of proof, and evaluate sources rather than relying on viral summaries. The book also highlights how debates about Israel often slide into moral absolutes, where complex events are reduced to single-cause stories with clear villains and victims. In response, it encourages readers to break arguments into parts, examine timelines, and separate intent from outcome. Even when readers disagree with his conclusions, the method is meant to prevent debates from being dominated by assertions that are unfalsifiable or strategically vague. In practice, the topic teaches how to respond in conversations by narrowing the question, requesting corroboration, and refusing to accept framing that presumes guilt without meeting evidentiary standards. Secondly, historical framing of the conflict and competing national narratives. The book places major accusations within a broad historical backdrop, emphasizing that many current claims depend on selective history. Dershowitz argues that competing national movements, wars, and shifting borders created a reality that cannot be reduced to a single origin story. He stresses the importance of understanding how terms like occupation, colonialism, and indigenous status are used as political labels rather than neutral descriptions. The topic is not a comprehensive chronology, but a reminder that debates about Israel and Palestinians often hinge on which starting point is chosen and which events are omitted. He encourages readers to recognize how narratives can be structured to imply inevitability or singular blame. For example, by presenting one side as the sole initiator of violence, or by ignoring prior offers, rejected agreements, or regional dynamics. By focusing on framing, the book aims to show that historical context can complicate claims that sound straightforward in a headline. This section also emphasizes the difference between describing past injustices and assigning exclusive moral responsibility in the present. The broader takeaway is that readers should test historical claims against multiple sources, verify dates and sequences, and be wary of narratives that treat a contested past as settled fact. Thirdly, international law arguments and the problem of double standards. Dershowitz repeatedly returns to legal concepts because many of the most common allegations are framed as violations of international law. He discusses how legal language is used in public discourse to create the impression of definitive judgment, even when the underlying questions are disputed. The book emphasizes that legal assessment requires attention to definitions, jurisdiction, precedent, and facts on the ground, and that slogans such as war crimes or apartheid are often deployed as verdicts rather than as claims requiring proof. He also underscores the idea of comparative application. If a rule is cited against Israel, readers should ask whether the same rule is invoked with equal force elsewhere and whether similar facts are treated similarly. This topic explores how international bodies, commissions, and political coalitions can blur the line between law and politics, shaping perceptions through resolutions and investigations that may be contested. The aim is not only to defend Israel, but to demonstrate how legal arguments can be manipulated when audiences assume that legal terminology is automatically objective. Readers are pushed to differentiate moral criticism from legal culpability and to scrutinize the evidentiary threshold for claims about targeting, proportionality, self-defense, and civilian harm in asymmetric conflict. Fourthly, media, activism, and the mechanics of persuasion. Another major theme is how narratives spread and why they stick. The book treats anti-Israel claims as part of an information ecosystem, that includes social media activism, campus politics, non-governmental advocacy, and selective reporting. Dershowitz argues that dramatic images and simplified storylines can override nuance, especially when audiences lack background knowledge. He points to the tendency of fast-moving news cycles to reward certainty and outrage, leaving little space for careful verification. The discussion also addresses how language choices, headlines, and framing can create assumptions about causality and intent before facts are known. In response, the book offers readers a practical mindset: follow primary documents. When possible, examine corrections and retractions, and evaluate whether a report distinguishes allegation from confirmed fact. It also emphasizes rhetorical asymmetry, where one side may be expected to justify itself at length, while the other is granted moral certainty. The broader lesson is that persuasion is often about repetition, moral signaling, and group identity as much as it is about evidence. By understanding these mechanics, readers can better spot when they are being guided toward conclusions by selective emphasis and can respond with calmer, more structured counter-arguments. Lastly, responding in debate-building rebuttals that are factual and strategic, the book is designed as a toolkit for rebuttal, not just as an opinion piece. It models a debate posture in which readers anticipate specific allegations and prepare concise counters grounded in history, law, and logic. Dershowitz encourages readers to avoid getting trapped in hostile framing and instead to recenter discussions on definable claims, evidence, and consistent standards. A key element is strategic prioritization, deciding which points to contest, which misconceptions to correct first, and when to concede complexity without conceding the conclusion. The book also highlights that effective rebuttal is not only about winning an argument, but about reaching audiences who may be undecided or misinformed. That means speaking in a way that is accessible, disciplined, and focused on testable facts rather than trading accusations. This topic includes the idea of intellectual self-defense, preparing for common rhetorical moves such as guilt by association, cherry-picked examples, and shifting definitions. For readers engaged in public discussion, the practical value is in learning to respond without being derailed, to request sources, to compare claims against parallel cases, and to keep the conversation anchored to what can be supported. Even critics can use the framework to pressure test their own arguments for consistency and evidentiary strength. In conclusion, this book is best suited for readers who frequently encounter contentious discussions about Israel, including students, educators, journalists, community leaders, and anyone navigating social media debates where claims are delivered as certainties. It will also interest readers who want to understand how political narratives are built and how legal or historical language can be used persuasively in public argument. The primary benefit is practical. It offers a structured way to evaluate allegations, ask sharper questions, and respond with organized reasoning rather than reactive emotion. For many readers, that skill transfers beyond this topic, improving critical thinking and other polarizing issues. Compared with broader histories of the Arab-Israeli conflict, this title focuses less on comprehensive storytelling and more on recurring argumentative claims, making it easier to consult when a particular accusation arises. It also distinguishes itself from purely partisan commentary by emphasizing standards of proof, definitional clarity, and the mechanics of debate, even though it clearly advances a pro-Israel stance. Buyers looking for a compact, claim-by-claim framework for refutation and discussion will likely find it more immediately usable than general surveys, especially when time is limited and the conversation is moving fast. If you would like to support Alan Dershowitz, you can buy the book through the Amazon link I've provided in the podcast description. After reading the book, please let me know what you think and share your thoughts. See you around.